for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, November the 24th, 1988. First service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother Jerry Garner is going to minister this evening. He's from down Houston way. And the Lord, we've got a lot of people here tonight who could come up here and testify of what the Lord's done for them. And Brother Garner is one that the Lord has raised up. Also, and he could testify to that. I don't know if he'll say anything about that tonight or not, but whatever the Lord lays on his heart, why, Brother Jerry, come and minister the word of the Lord and close the service, and we'll probably sing and bless, praise the Lord after you get through, but whatever the Lord leads, why, the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Glenn. Hallelujah. I feel like this is July and it just kept on going. So if y'all were here, remember that Saturday afternoon service? That's what I want right now. I want God to start right where he left off and just keep right on going. Now, how many of y'all remember every single one of the Ites, all the Amorites, all the lords of the Philistines? Y'all been having victory over them since summer? Okay, just checking. I said that to say this. Tomorrow, the next day, or whenever, if I do teach again, the Lord laid on my heart to bring the Bride of Christ series with me, so I did. And it's very in-depth, but it fits right in there where the flesh man leaves off, the Bride of Christ picks up. There are, I brought 7 or 8 of the types of the foreshadows of the Bride of Christ out of the Old Testament. Abigail, Esther, Abishag, and several of them that walked out for us, for our admonition as an example to us in these days, how we are to conduct ourselves as Christ-like folks. Let me do this first. Anyone that is standing in faith that a loved one will not be lost, let me give you a couple of scriptures. If you're believing for a mate or a family member that just will not hear the word, will not be repented, I want to give you a couple of verses. Job 22:30. This is a promise to the overcomers, to the saints. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. Okay? You remember the one in Isaiah that says, no one shall lack her mate, their mate. Okay? I wrote down Isaiah 33:16. I'm not sure if that's it. I've got so many scribbled notes over here. But as I was driving up here, I was asking the Lord, you know, what he wanted me to do while I was here and why he was bringing me this time. Okay, it's in Isaiah 34:16, I'm sorry. Search for the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit, capital S, meaning Holy Spirit, has gathered them. Okay?
Hallelujah.
Write those down, claim those, shed no more tears, no more worry, no more fret, no more anxiety, no more fits of rage or depression over your loved ones. Just stand on the word. Pray the word, believe the word. And Satan will flee from you. Okay, something else, Lord, we want to talk about just briefly. There is only one way to God. That's through His Son, Jesus Christ. But there are many, 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 many ways to Jesus Christ. No one in here has to follow somebody else. Okay? God tailors your salvation to you. Your needs are not my needs. My needs are not your needs. My weaknesses are not your weaknesses, and vice versa. It just keeps on going. And also, I'm not here to judge or to recommend you. I'm here to instruct you about what God has told me. The lady said she come to testify the Lord. I do too. I can testify those things that I have experienced in my life. And believe me, when you start teaching and preaching, you're going to start walking in some stuff, whether you want to or not, because God's going to see to it. So I'm here to share with you what I have experienced. And yes, I have experienced healing in my physical body. The doctor told my wife I would not get out of the hospital, and I did. And I look back now and I know now why. God healed me. But it's because God came to me and said, I'm going to heal you, after I said, I don't care. I'm ready to go, God. I gave up. I could have named it and claimed it all day long till I was blue in the face. But I got to the point where I said, okay, God, I'm ready. And I meant it. I'm ready to go, God, take me. He said, okay, now I'll heal you. See, if I had taken a stand, your word says, by your stripes, and I could have quoted it all day long. But I know what I'm speaking for Jerry Garner. This is what I experienced, okay? This is not, you know, thus saith anybody in the Bible. This is what Jerry Garner experienced. At that point in my life, when I said, okay, God, I don't care. It does not matter to me. Do what you want. He says, good, I'm going to heal you. And I've noticed some other people recently I've been praying for, they're at that point. I think God's waiting for them to really come to that point where it doesn't matter. That their life here in this physical doesn't mean as much to them as the life in the spirit. Okay? Hallelujah. Some of that name and claim it gets in trouble sometime. The power of positive thinking, positive confession. It's coming short of the mark. Okay? It's time to speak plain and speak clear about the Word of God. Paul says, I talked to Bill about this. I said, can a person fall from grace? And he kind of, there's some things you don't talk about, right? Because you don't want to stir up anybody. But the Word says, pray that you not fall short. Does it not? Isn't that what we read that tonight? It falls short of the grace of God. Paul said, walk out your salvation in fear and trembling. I told some people the other night, I preached at a denominational type church. I knew I'd never get to come back, so I went ahead and took my one shot while I was there. I knew this was it. I said, throw away these pulpits, chunk them out of the way, get folks down front, and when the Holy Spirit gets a person down front, there on the spot begin to break things and deal with things in their life, and then instruct them. This is a beginning. You have not just got saved. You have just started a salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Now I charge you to go and walk it out in fear and trembling. They need that then. Not 6 months later, they go, I thought I got saved, and here I am falling already. God, what happened, God? I got saved. What am I doing down here if I got saved? Forget saved. Throw out saved. Chunk it. Call it salvation. Amen. Because that makes motion. Salvation experience. I look at it this way. Every day I take a walk with God. Salvation's following me. Forgiveness is following me, right? If it ain't, I'm in trouble. There better be something behind covering my tracks. And it's His salvation every day, right? His sanctification, His purification. It's a process. Some of y'all have been trying to walk under somebody else's convictions, and that's bondage. You've been sitting under some of these teachers that want to put you in a hole and pound on your head and get the word and says, cut your hair, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't do this, don't do that, don't. And you're so don't, like a donut hole. I mean, when I got, quote, saved, when I was the first time, they gave me a list of don'ts. I said, what do we get to do? I mean, I was a little Baptist boy. You don't wear shorts. Why? You don't swim with girls. Will you get something? You know, we didn't know kids. Ooh, you can't swim together? Oh, we got all these don'ts. I want a list of the do's, right? God has a list of do's in here. Do this, do that, right? Come on, let's put on the do's for a while. But anyway, I don't know what I do too. I shouldn't say that. I know what I believe. I know what I believe. I know whom I believe, okay? And I'm persuaded that He's able. I'm not, but He is. So we're going to. Does that make sense to you? Tell me about it. I'm ready. Like I said, the Bride of Christ series fits right in there. And believe me, I hope you don't schedule me at nighttime, because Bride of Christ is not for night. Because by nighttime, everybody's mellowed out. I want you when you're fresh. You're wide awake, you know, and you're ready. Because the Bride of Christ takes a lot of up here. You've got to think about it as you go along, because there's so much of it. I mean, you've got to know that little Abishag, the Shunammite, that they've got to lay across David to keep him warm, came in as a virgin, and she's a type of us. All God really needs as far as a warm body. He don't care if you've got all these degrees and all this pedigree stuff and all that, you know, talents and gifts and moving all this. He don't care. He needs a warm body, right? Right. That's all you are, a bunch of warm bodies. Now let God fill you up and do what He wants to do. That's where we got in trouble. We've been out trying to do what we want to do. I've got a ministry, and I'm going to go do it. Watch out. Going to get something all over you. Okay? All right. I'm talking to the right bunch. I guess we better go on. Okay, let me think. Where was I going before I went that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go that direction, but that's where we are, y'all. God is so plain. He is so simple. Why have we made him so hard? Why have we put a bear in a robe on him and float him up in the air somewhere in a cloud? That ain't God. The God I know is the God down here.
Amen.
I mean, in this, you know, he's alive. I mean, read it. When I come out of the church, oh, I hate to say that in front of folks, they go, you don't go to church. I am the church, okay, and you are too. When I finally got out of man's church and got in God's word, the God I met in here scared me. I thought, wait a minute, I don't know this God. Not like I need to know him. You mean God might strike somebody with something? He sure might. That's what the word says, didn't he? Remember when old Nabal, she's another type of bride of Christ, Abigail, her husband, he got mad because Abigail took some food over to David. He hardened his heart. 10 days later, God struck him dead as a hammer. Gave him 10 days, didn't he? Well, us saints, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Bill and I were talking about a righteous man may fall 7 times, right? Thank God. But a fool, what? His destruction comes upon him quickly, like that. Okay. Just don't harden your heart. Don't ever get to the point where you think you got it. If you ever think you got it, you ain't got it. If you ever sit down and say, I got it now, I've got it, I got it. Watch out. What you got might be catching. Okay. Let's see. What do y'all want to talk about? Anybody got any questions? I have something I want to go to, but anybody got a question, I'll be glad to answer any questions before we go any further. Okay? We're all equal in the eyes of God. There ain't nobody any dirtier or any cleaner than anybody else sitting here, okay? Let's get a few things level before we go anywhere, okay? God made us. He knows us. We can't hide nothing. So don't try to hide it from God. God, you know me. This is it. What are we going to do? That's the way you approach God. God, if you break your finger, God, fix it. You know, you don't need no magic cure. Fix it. God, just fix it. And if it's perfect timing, it'll fix, won't it? Okay. And if it ain't time, he's trying to teach you something, you might have to swell up for a while. Okay. Got all that out of the way, didn't we? Let's see. Where are we going to go? We're going to go over to John 17. I hope God rattles a few cages. Some of us need to be set free. Also, whenever we came back in here and... Irma, those tapes back there that we did... what is that Numbers 23 thing that we did about the... what was that, huh? Oh, yeah. The divination of spirits and sorcery. Are those back there that we came back and did during the summer after the camp meeting? I hope that is. It's not back there? Oh, never mind. Scratch that. You didn't hear that. Might have to preach that again then since we lost that one. Okay, in John 17, verse 13, this is Jesus. If you want the Lord's Prayer, this is the Lord's Prayer. Okay? This is the Lord's Prayer. Okay? He prayed for you and I. He prayed for Jerry Garner. I don't pray for just these, but he also Jerry Garner. Verse 13 of chapter 17. I want to start here if the Lord will allow me. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus is praying to his Father about you and I. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Anybody in here been hated by the world? I mean a little more than just dislike. You've got to be hated by the world. You see, we're not peculiar enough yet. We've got to get a little more peculiar. You got to get a little more hated by your family and your neighbors, okay? Just want to encourage y'all what's going to happen. You're going to have persecution in the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me. This prayer is for you if you will believe in Jesus Christ through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. How about that? That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Really? We're not walking in any glory. that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. Jesus praying for us. Now, tell me then, if Jesus prayed that prayer for us, how can it possibly be that he later wrote or was recorded, in that day many shall come and say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That knew is not, hi, how you doing? It's Adam knew Eve. It's intimately. I never knew you intimately. I knew of you, but I didn't know you. Depart. Does that bother y'all? That bothers me. They laid hands on the sick. They cast out demons. They drank the wine. They did this. They did all the religious things. They looked it. They talked it. They smelt it. They walked it. And he says, depart from me. That scares me. In fear and trembling, yes, I'll walk out my salvation in fear and trembling. If that word is true, and it is, if some of these days, very soon, he's going to say, all you workers of iniquity, depart from me. I never knew you intimately. I don't know what that does to you, but it woke me up one night at one of our meetings. And I'm going, the God that we're reading about is a strange God to me, because I've always taught God's good, he doeth good. That's right. But sometimes what he doeth for us, we don't think it's so good. But he did it because it's good for us. We need to stop misquoting God out of the Word of God. We need to stop taking him out of context and putting a bunch of scriptures together trying to say something, okay? That bothers me when somebody starts doing that. I'd rather just open the Bible and read the whole thing from the beginning to the end to me and let the Holy Spirit tell me what he's talking about. Don't try to convince me of your doctrine or theology, because I don't care about doctrine or theology. I care about the Word. Is that okay? Okay. So this charge is to the bride of Christ. This charge is to those who will be overcomers. Let me read to the overcomers just a minute before you put your finger in Jeremiah 15 and then flip backwards to Revelation 3. This is not a Bible drill. In Revelation 3, verse 20. Now, at this point in the Word, he has addressed all seven churches. And if you have spiritual ears, you'll hear that there were seven literal churches in Asia Minor. He was speaking to seven church ages, and he was speaking to the types of churches that will be in the end date. He's speaking to every single Christian that ever live and breathe. So don't say that was for them and this is for us and this dispensation and that. I'm sorry, I'm not smart enough to understand all that. I don't care about all that. This Word of God talks to me. And if you'll listen and have ears to hear, that's what he says over and over and over. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? Churches, everyone. Everyone, this is for you. In verse 20 of chapter 3, behold, I, Jesus Christ, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, number one, you've got to be able to hear his voice and be able to discern if it's his voice or some other voice. Right. Number one, hear my voice. Number two, open the door. There are a lot of people who have heard God but have not opened the door. Remember, the doorknob's on this side, your side, not his side. It's on your side. Open the door. Open the door means you let him come into you, your life. Okay? Not just part of the room, but the whole thing. I will come into him. Isn't that strange wording? Jesus Christ said, if you open the door, I'll come into you. Wouldn't you think he'd just say, I'll come in his room and sit down with him? No. He was making a very profound statement. I will come into him and then dine with him and he with me. You think Jesus was hungry? No, he wasn't hungry. When he talked about food, what was he talking about? Right, spiritual food. He said, if you let me come in, and I'm in you, and you're in me, then we'll dine together. We'll break bread together. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to know. I'm telling you right now, there ain't nobody here can go to enough conferences, buy enough tapes, read enough books, memorize enough scripture to do a thing for you, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost to interpret for you. So save your money, go home, take a few days off from work, get in the closet, and read the Bible. Okay? Come in to him. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. I don't want to stir up anybody, but this talks about a group of Christians who, a group of people. I don't want to put any labels on nobody. I hate labels. Don't say I teach this and I teach that. Please say I just teach the Word. And if you don't think so, come and yell at me, and we'll hug. We'll discuss it. To him who overcomes, I'll allow to sit on my throne with me. There are a group of people who will be allowed to sit on the throne and reign with him. And there is a group in the book of Revelations who stand before the throne night and day, waving a palm branch and serving him. And I'm not drawing division lines. I don't care. I'm just trying to encourage you to press on. Paul said, press on, press on, press in. Okay? Don't let Satan decide, well, let's sit down out here and rest. No, don't testify to them. They'll just get mad at you anyway. They won't listen. Don't listen to him. He's lying to y'all. Go all the way with God. Okay? Now, let's leave that for just a moment and go to Jeremiah 15. Because this is the scripture he gave me this afternoon when I went over to the dungeon. I love that place. It's quiet in there and dark when you turn the lights off. It's a nice, quiet place. The lower room. Sorry. Jesus went to the bowels of the earth, didn't he? Well, we should get in the lower room. Some of y'all may need to go to the lower room where it's quiet and dark. Can't hear nobody but God. Therefore, thus says the Lord in verse 19 of Jeremiah 15. This is his proclamation to you. And notice there are two very important words. And one of them is a big old word, if. If you return. Are we estranged? Some of us have been. Then I'll bring you back. Notice he said, I will bring you back. Okay? He does it. You shall stand before me. Big if. If you take out the precious from the vial. If you don't mark in your Bible, you ought to mark that one. Because it's a big if. You can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of confessing. You can do a lot of weeping. You can do a lot of fasting. You can do a lot of spiritual things. You can prophesy. You can lay hands on the sick. You can cast out demons. You can do all these things. But if you take out the precious from the vial, the mixture, okay? You shall be my mouth. Next point, let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Interesting, isn't it? I have noticed more people recently, not sliding back, but kind of, well, dragging their feet a little bit. They have friends that, you know, let's do this, or let's do that. Well, I can't do that because everybody think I'm weird, you know, and I've got friends that want to go to a certain type of church because that's where it's, quote, that's where it's happening right now. And they're being pulled back. They're afraid. They get these comments like, well, you just think you're better than we are, don't you? Constant. Well, who do you think you are? Are you somebody special? You know, well, you're just holier than thou. Don't let those remarks get to you. Unless the Holy Spirit convicts you, then do something about it. But don't let Satan pull you back. The Word says, bring them where you are. Don't go back to where they are. And do not stay in a dead body with the mistaken idea, God put me here to save all of them. I heard that. I used that myself for about a year in a big church where I was one of the leaders. I stayed there for their good. Like to wore me out, but God finally said, I told you so. Okay, God, I got the point now. Yes, you're right, God. Because what's going to happen? You're going to end up offending them because you're so zealous for God. And you can't say, why can't you see what I see? Read that. Look at that. And they're going, duh, what? Even in one place, the Word says, don't pray for these people. All right? Verse 20. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. And they'll fight against you. You will have battles. If you ain't fighting Satan, if you ain't walking up against him several times during the day, then guess what? You're probably walking the same way he is. Okay? Remember that thing God told me that time? If I wasn't working in his army, I was working in Satan's, and that really made me mad. So what do you mean? I'm just not going to do nothing for nobody. Welcome to Satan's army. There are no back pews in God's church. Okay? No rest stops on God's highway, neither. Pull over here while I deserve to rest. I've been serving God all these years. In my golden years, oh, y'all, I'm sorry. That is a plague on our land right now. Of the most precious commodity this land has, it's some retired people who now have the time to do things for God. And where are they going? Up and down the road in Winnebagoes. There's nothing wrong with Winnebagoes or traveling. But don't anybody put your old folks in the old folks' home and forget them. Look at all those years of experience. Don't do that. And if you're that age, don't let them do it to you. Fight, claw, kick, scream, carry on. You ain't putting me in one of them. I'm going to do something for God. Come on. Don't let Satan cheat us. He's already cheated us out of enough. I want to be president. Let me tell you. Never mind. I don't want to be president, Lord. Forgive me. I mean, we can turn this country around so easy if you just pick up this and throw out everything else. But let's go by this. Let's go by what God said, okay? But we know that's not going to happen. I mean, I read the end of the book. I know what's going to happen. That ain't going to happen until Jesus gets here. But y'all better get ready. When he gets here, you better know what he's going to do. If not, he'll say, y'all take a seat. We'll come back and get you later. Okay. I'm going to move off of that real quick. Do I need to go back and explain body, soul, spirit before I go any further? Do y'all all understand body, soul, spirit? Do y'all understand that in the beginning, God created Adam, him, male and female. He created them spiritually. He created Adam and he was both male and female. And later, he took out the female part, made Eve out of it. He didn't create nothing new. He just pulled it apart and said, over here, okay? For discussion's sake, let's say for just a minute, before we get lost in anything, let's say Adam represented our spiritual being. Let's say Eve represented our soulish part, the intellect, the emotions, the will, the mind. Who did Satan try to deceive? Who did he appeal to? Our soulish nature. The word said that Adam was not deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what God said, knew what was going on. Did anyway, right? Eve knew. I mean, Eve didn't know. Adam knew. Yet she was deceived. Now, guess what? Same snake, same lie. Come to us. What's he going to appeal to? Our soulish realm. Our intellect. Our emotions. Our will. He's going to say, you got a will. You do this, you do that. Don't come to me and lie to me. In Christ, I have no rights. I don't need any. I have no will. I gave it away. God, you take my will. I don't care. I want to get over here. I'm going to tell you this just as simply as God told me a few weeks ago and just blew my mind. One day I told him, I said, y'all, in just a few hours' time, all at the same time, I experienced every single emotion that I have ever had. I was depressed. I was happy. I was crying. I was laughing. I was up. I was down. I was just crazy. I said, what's going on, God? He said, I want you to experience everything. And all of a sudden, just like everything smoothed out, and it's like Jesus Christ said, now. Feel the difference? It's me. And when the reality, y'all put up with me a lot, and I thank you for that. Because you realize I've only been in the Spirit 5 years now. I was something else for 30-something years. But when I got over in the Spirit of God, I'm the baby of the family. So y'all just bear with me for just a minute, y'all. Y'all, Jesus Christ, the reality that he came and lives in my spirit. My spirit man. I have a spirit man. Every time you see spirit in the Bible, small s, it means human spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. Jesus had a human spirit. Small s. And the word said, those that worship me shall worship me in spirit and in truth. Small s. Okay? Anointed with the Holy Spirit. Big S. Remember that, please. You have a spirit. You have a soul. And together, they live in a body. Now, where is Satan trying to get at you to sin? Did he tempt your spirit? No. Not in the spirit. He tempts you in the soulish realm. And if he can't get you just to get off deep in sin and just turn your back on God and go, I don't need that, and go on and have a fine time and live the way you want to, he'll come the other direction. He'll try to push you beyond. Let's worship God over here in the soulish realm. Some people got to have an emotional experience with God or they ain't got nothing. That's where witchcraft, spiritual witchcraft has come into the church, is in the soul realm. They got to feel it. You got to have a holy jerk or fall down or freak out before you feel like you got anything from God. You know, when you really feel God is when it comes from the inside out. Then you know you got something. Don't stand on somebody and let them pray something down over you. I get nervous when they start doing that. What are you going to put on me? Wait a minute. I don't pray nothing down on you. Paul said, reach in there and stir up what's already in there. Stir up the gift. Stir up what's already there. God's already put it in there. I ain't going to pour nothing on top of your head. I saw a guy do that one time. Sighed and got out the back door. I didn't want to embarrass him or me either one. I said, He was telling them folks that he had in him and he was going to put on them. It makes me nervous. I'm not carrying y'all's glory around. I ain't carrying your anointing around on me. I ain't got nothing about me I'm going to give to you. I'm going to share with you what God's done to me. So maybe you won't make the same mistake I already made. Okay? All right. I don't know why I got this written down, but I've got written down Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Is that that scripture that just gives me the shivers every time I think about it? Well, y'all go circle it so I can tell God, I did take them there, God. I showed them in writing what you said. Matthew 7, 22, 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? You mean some of these prophets run around the country may not be there, God? That's what it says. Prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works in your name, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Y'all, I believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is very serious with us, and I feel that in days past, me, number one, guilty first, have not known, have not understood. I grew up in a denomination that told me that if I do this and this and this and not do this and this and this, I'd be okay. I'm sorry, that's a lie. Anything is a lie that falls short of this right here. And if they give you part of it and not all of it, that's a lie. They got to give you all of it. Don't water it down. Don't sugarcoat it. And don't tell me what you think I need to know because I don't understand the rest of it. Tell me all of it. Let the Holy Spirit discern it for me. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated if you don't understand everything. You're sitting here and your subconscious is hearing it. It's going to get in there and that spirit's going to start working on you. And all of a sudden, you're walking down the street one of these days and boom, oh, that's what he was talking about. I know it's happened to me several times already. I mean, years ago when God came to me in the spirit, before I knew there wasn't a spirit, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall rise and meet them in the air. They ain't dead people. I'm going, what? Not dead people, the dead in Christ? Dead in Christ? Oh, those who are dead to self. They're dead in Christ. Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And I know that scripture is, okay, y'all, don't get shook up about that scripture, but see, God was trying to make a point with me. I didn't understand you got to die, right? We got to die. Anybody ready to die? Okay. Now, if you're ready to die for God, you're ready to live for him? That's a little harder. Take me, God, but please don't make me live here like this. Okay? Please, God. That's the hard part, right? I'm so glad y'all accept that thing about body, soul, and spirit, because a lot of people, they quiver at that because they think they've been taught, brought to believe that the soul and the spirit's the same thing and that the spirit that's in you is actually the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit woos your spirit, leads you by your spirit. But you have your own human spirit. You have your own human soul, and you definitely, if you're here, you're walking around in a body. You've got all three. He said, pray that you be found blameless. What? Whole body, whole spirit, whole soul. The Word of God is living and living, a two-edged sword to divide us under what? Truth from a lie, soul and spirit. You see, when we begin to understand our soulish nature and our spiritual nature, some of this in the church will begin to disappear. And then we'll begin to take out the precious from the vile. Because in God's eyes, that's vile. And how do you know if it's vile? Did something happen inside of you, or was it all exterior? When Gideon's army was told to go down the holy hill and get in the holy water and drink, to divide out, divide asunder the truth from the liars, y'all separate that out, all the instruction was go drink, right? He didn't say how. He just said go drink. He's told us, drink of my living water. How? Take out the precious from the vial. You see, those that got down in the water and splashed around, dirtied up the water, splashed, had a good time, versus those who knelt on one knee looking for the enemy and got a slip of water and drank it like that. The Holy Spirit was sent to nourish your spiritual man, not to cleanse the flesh. A lot of people try to act holy trying to cleanse their flesh. They come to meetings. They get prayed for. They get slain. They speak in tongues. They roll around. They do the Pentecostal jerk. They do all those types of things trying to appear holy, not just to impress people, that's part of it, but to make them, to lie to themselves. Hey, I got something. I'd much rather you sit there and not even show emotion, but something inside change. And when you walk out the door, you are a different person. Somebody runs you off the road out there and you don't care. Oh, it's all right. Blew my tire. That's all right. That's all right. I got another tire. That's all right. Somebody swindled you out $10,000 tomorrow at the bank. Oh, that's all right. My dad's got lots of money. I ain't worried about that. You see, those are the kind of people God will be looking for. Right? Or your mother-in-law comes to visit and she didn't call. You know? Or your kids call and say, well, we're going to bring our kids over and leave them at your house. You know, some stuff like that begins to happen. All of a sudden, it's all right. It's all right. I know y'all getting tired of hearing me saying, but it don't matter. And I don't care. And man, I used to make my wife so mad, and a bunch of people in our group, you don't care about nothing. I said, no, I don't. Because Jerry Garner used to care about everything and everybody. I worried about everything. Man, I worried if you didn't like me, if you did like me. What am I going to do? Try to impress them. I don't care. I don't care if you're impressed or if you're not impressed. It doesn't bother me. I care if you hear what the Spirit is saying to your spirit now. And He's telling you, church, wake up. It's not what you've heard. It's something inside. I want to change something inside. I want to circumcise your heart and your flesh. The sons of Zadok are fixing to come out. We may talk about that tomorrow too. When they went to minister to the Holy of Holies, it said, what would it say? No wool shall come upon them. They'll have understanding, in other words, in the Hebrew. No wool. Wool impedes understanding. They'll have no wool on them. They'll be people of understanding. How about that? That old saying, pull the wool over your eyes? That's what the word means in Hebrew. That's why it said, put on linen garments, don't put on wool. Makes you sweat. If you sweat in the temple, you defile, right? You think the brothers are cool? Man, we're going to be cool. Things are going to happen. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as it matters to you, you're going to have a problem. Because the big wart number one is going to work on you till you just go, I give up, God. You know, I can't take that, dude. He said, well, as long as it matters. I'm telling you, get to that point where it does not matter. And you're not responsible for my salvation, and I'm not responsible for yours. So you don't have to answer to me, and I don't have to answer to you. I answer to God. Now you start answering to God. Don't answer to some man. Don't try to put yourself under some man and hope that he's holy enough to lay hands on you to get you somewhere. You better start talking to God yourself. And then go to some man's congregation and be helpful. Don't be a hindrance. I mean, go to church to bless, not to get blessed, right? Amen. Y'all should have come up here ready to bless, not get. Well, I got news for you. We're going to get and give up here. All right? We're going to have some audience participation probably tomorrow or the next day. We start speaking about the brides of Christ. It's going to blow your mind. We're going to have to get out the root cellar and start digging to understand. You see, this, it's been hidden. The word even says there's a veil over the eyes of the Jews. They can't understand because they've denied Christ. So there's a veil over their face. And something else I felt about 3 weeks ago, I kept seeing weddings and a bride, and I kept feeling like everything was in slow motion. The veil was coming up real slow. You see, the veil is coming up real slow. Where do you think Christ is going to appear first? You will see Him as He is. And then what? You'll be like Him? Meaning what? I got news for you. Boy, I got news for you. The book of Revelation says, blessed and holy are those who are called to the wedding supper of the Lamb. The wedding supper follows the wedding. Did you hear that? You're going to get married before you're called to the wedding supper of the Lamb. You will know Him and then be taken to the wedding. And the word says, blessed and holy are those who are called. That means there must be some that aren't blessed and holy. There may be a few bridesmaids show up, a few wedding guests show up. And I'm not trying to separate. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just praising God that He's doing something. He's waking us up, saying, come on, church. Guess what, y'all? It comes down to if we. You can hear, you do, all these things. But it comes down to, finally, it comes down to me and what God told me to do and not to do. So I break off all that bondage from all these places that would put you in bondage to them and saying, you have to do this and you have to say this. And then if you do this, then we'll talk. No, you listen to God and do what God tells you. And one thing He has told everybody in here to do is study to show yourselves approved.
Yes.
Now, shame on you. If you read more tapes or listen to tapes and read more funny books, then you listen to this and read this. Shame on you. I'm going to get on to you every time I come. The Bible comes first. Okay? Okay, I think I'm through. Except I'm going to leave this with you. I want everybody to go to bed and sleep real good. Because tomorrow, and if we teach this, I don't know, whenever, tomorrow, the next day, I want you all to be ready. We'll take breaks in between. But before you leave here, you're going to understand. You see, the bride of Christ is only mentioned a few times in the Bible. And to the normal, everyday person on the street that doesn't know anything would say that's a mystery because she's never described. She is described over and over and over and over. And before you leave here, you will know the attributes and the characteristics and the price the bride of Christ had to pay. And I'll give you a hint. We studied him when we studied David's wilderness journey. You might want to get that tape and listen to that first. There are 7 stops that David made before he got to be king. There are 7 things the bride of Christ does, and it follows David exactly. She had faith, virtue, knowledge, perseverance, self-control, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. It's automatic. Do this, 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 this. Simple. There's no mystery about it. The mystery of the hope of glory is what? Christ in you. Very simple. Not Christ over here, and Christ over here, and Christ over here. Christ in you. Everybody's walking around looking. Well, I heard He was over here. I heard He was over there. I heard He showed up down at Lakewood Church. Or they saw some lights and some angels. The Word says don't worship angels. Didn't it? Y'all get your antennas up, get your spiritual ears open, you start watching and listening what's going on in some of these churches. And I ain't putting down churches, y'all. I want to put up the church, the one that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Okay? Now, He said, let's all go back to Revelations and we'll end right there. Revelations 3. I'm sorry I didn't give you a lot of Hebrew and Greek definitions, but I didn't want to weight you down with anything. I wanted just to get this, and then we'll get into some heavy stuff later. But in verse 18 of chapter 3, this is Jesus Christ speaking. I counsel you. Counsel you. He said, I counsel you. When you counsel someone, you sit down together and you discuss it. Over and over and over if necessary. He said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you might see. That is spiritual eye salve. Okay? As many as I love, I rebuke. Anybody in here been rebuked by God lately? And I chasten, or discipline. Therefore, be zealous, or also be eager, and repent. Some of us repent after we get caught. Ooh, I am so sorry. And what you're saying is, I'm so sorry I got caught. I'm sorry. That is not repentance. That's sorry you got caught. I'm talking to the right crowd. Okay. Here we go. This is so simple, y'all. I hope you catch this. The whole thing. Everything that I said boils down to this one thing. He said, if I am in you. Now, of the three, where do you think He is going to be? Body? No, So? Don't think so. That's your intellect and your mind, your will and your emotions. I don't think you're going to have to understand God to get to God. He's going to come to your spirit. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives in your spirit. Okay? That's why you can't feel him in the flesh. You shouldn't be able to anyway. If you're feeling something in the flesh, you're probably feeling something else. I'm sorry. That's just a real stickler, y'all. We gotta get loose of some stuff. We gotta move on with God. Second part of that, he said, if I'm in you, you understand that? He said, and if then you are in me. That means, who's the you? Your soul. Your intellect, your will, your emotions, your fears, your joy, everything that makes up you is now in him. You have done away with your will, your emotions, your intellect. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to have an answer to everything. Somebody's sick, God heal them. You don't have to understand everything if you're at that level. Just God fix it. You know, if a kid hurts, he says, oh, fix it. Well, that's, if you're a kid for God, God fix it. Okay? If everything that you have is in Christ, then you can start singing, Here Comes the Bride. Okay? That's what it all boils down to. Do not be deceived, those of us who have been prone to sin in our past, that God is dwelling upon our past sins before we can get in. That's a yoke of bondage from Satan. I have a feeling the things that will keep more of us out of being in Christ is our own emotions and our own will and our own intellect. I've got some very close friends right now. If they can't understand all of it, they don't want any of it. And that's scary. Those are really the ones that are led by the Spirit. They ain't led by their intellect. I got it now. By the time you got it, everybody else is down the road because they're following the Spirit. They're not following what they can understand, what they can figure out, what they can experience emotionally. Let it be in here. Let the deliverance come in here. It may manifest out, but let it start in here. Let your healing start in here. Okay? Everything is in, okay? It's not out here acting holy. It's in here. Remember when Balaam and Balak were on the hill trying to put a curse on God's people down the valley? The only way they escaped, God finally told Balaam why, after three tries of all that sacrificing and all that party going. God said, I have blessed them and you cannot curse them, because look down there and see. Get the tape. Jacob, there is no sorcery in him. That's flesh man. And in Israel, there is no divination of spirit. Spiritual man. Right now, above us, on a high place somewhere, Satan's going, curse him, curse him, curse him. And God's saying, look, there's no sorcery in their flesh. There's no divination of their spirit going on. Is there? I don't understand everything. I don't know everything. But I'm telling you what, I've been staying up nights trying to find out. I told God about 9 months ago, God, I want to understand sorcery. And I want to understand divination of spirits as it relates to the church. I need to know when I'm praying for somebody. Am I praying a charismatic type witchcraft prayer? God, the next time he smokes, make him sick. Or next time he drinks, make him sick. That's charismatic witchcraft. That's trying to get God to do something. Boy, these Christians that think they got God in a little hoop, make him jump through it every once in a while, are in trouble. I saw that cartoon with a great big guy with a little bitty God saying, now God, da-da-da-da-da, versus the great big God and the little guy on the ground going, oh, God, that's the kind of God we got. He's bigger than us, okay? If you ever got a little God you can hold in your hand and order around and say, okay, jump. I'm sorry. Wrong God. Guess what? If ain't nobody in here saved yet. You're walking out your salvation with fear and trembling. And it's an everyday experience. And yesterday's failures are covered and gone. And tomorrow is a new day. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that you send the Holy Spirit and seal this word. Father, if I spoke one word that was not true or not from you, I ask that you just bind that from my understanding. Father, I ask for peace to be in this campground.
Yes, Lord.
I ask for your spirit to manifest. I ask that you send all your spirits, Father, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, fear of you, Father God, a spirit of wise counsel, and a spirit of peace, Father, to stand over this campground with a flaming sword, Father. Father, thank you that your word says, blessed are the peacemakers. Father, make us peacemakers. Make us to understand what your word says, Father. And Father, just like Solomon prayed, Father, we pray. Father, anoint us. Give us understanding, Father God, on how to deal and how to understand, Father, with all these spirits and all these things that affect us, thy people, Father. So, Father, we humble ourselves in your sight. We say, Father, forgive us. In Jesus' name, I ask for anointing of new oil, new wine. I ask for a refreshing. I ask that your spirits be here, Father God, to guide us in these days of this camp meeting, Father. And I ask that no one go away condemned, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit come to convict us, but never to condemn us. Father, thank you that you don't make us feel guilty, Father. You make us feel forgiven, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.